Loving Father, we come to you again and we are happy and thankful for everything you've done for us and all that you do. The opportunity to be in your house today. And dear Father, help us that we truly realize and understand that to be part of the body, all together with the Lord Jesus as the head, that each and every one are needed and necessary, and we have jobs and responsibilities to help the work to its completion. And when we realize also that all of the things in this world that mean something to the natural eventually will mean nothing, but everything that we do spiritually leads to a blessed future. Be with us and help us in everything that we do and all that we need. Bless all of those who are in need. You see and know every circumstance and situation. And help us as your guardians, that with Triland and Starlight and all together, that we can be in a perfect oneness with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us in everything that we do. Help us to do what we can to help this work to its completion. We send the Lord Jesus soon. Bless our time together here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So, Triland gives you his peace. So we don't have an agenda, but what we'd like to do is open it up. But I'd first like to start with Atmos and our little experience that we had. You want to start?
Yeah. So was it when two Sundays ago now?
I think so.
Something like that. We I was at home and woke up with a horrible headache, and it just kept getting progressively worse and progressively worse. And normally I can take some Excedrin and I can knock it out because I know the migraines when I feel them. Haven't had a whole lot of migraines the older I've gotten, but this one was pretty bad. And it involved my shoulders and everything. It was getting to the point where it was making me sick, nauseous. And then I just got down a lot. It just got worse and worse and worse and worse. Wasn't getting any better. And then all of a sudden, it was like my third eye just opened up. Oh, look at everything that's going on. It was Memorial Day weekend, I believe, correct? Or was it the weekend after that?
Yes, it was. Yeah. And that's a significant part that I realized later.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until I just now said it. But anyways, I was sitting there, I'm seeing every soldier that has ever died, that lived on the face of this earth, essentially, standing on my property. And I became instantly overwhelmed, and it made everything worse. And I was getting to the point where I was getting ready to have a panic attack, and I didn't know what to do. So the only thing I could think of to do was, I text Q or Starlight to see if either one of them could, had a chance to talk. And Q was like, yeah, I got time right now. So he gave me a shout, and then things kind of, he came, he saw, I think you saw what I was seeing. So if you want to take it over from there.
So when he called, he was really like, he had no idea what to do. And he was just stressed. And you know how headaches can just take away everything. And the first thing I did is said, okay, just sit and relax, get in a place, sit straight up, and just kind of, stretch your neck out in that. And then let me back up and say, I held the service that morning, and I had just gotten home from church. And after you hold the service and it works well and you're connected, as soon as I saw his text, I sent that, talked with him, and it was beautiful because it all worked out the way it needed to. I was on right then. Now, if I was in a state like he was, how could I help, right? But that's how things work out. So then I went to him, and I connected with my healing master and his, and we helped him straighten out. I grounded him, went through and completely grounded. I told him not to worry about anything, don't think about anything, and I grounded him. And then we ran energy, and I even grabbed his neck. I don't know if you ever felt, but I felt like I grabbed your chin, your head like that, and kind of lifted it up. And then we talked, and we talked about all of the soldiers there, and I asked you, do you have any idea why they would be there? And it took you a couple of seconds to answer, but then you said, ever since you were a little kid, you wanted to be a soldier. You always wanted to be a soldier. And so that's the connection. And then you were concerned because you didn't know how to help them and what you could do, and you couldn't do anything because you were in pain. And it was like overwhelming. Someone stood up and said, and I can't remember, you told me who it was, it's your uncle.
Yeah, so it was a distant relative that looked spitting image of my uncle who's passed.
Okay.
I mean, spitting image. I still am waiting for my mom to send me the picture of this. And the only reason I knew him was because my mom has a picture of this man. His last name was Masters. My mom's my grandmother's maiden name. And they have a picture of him in his uniform, and his last name is Masters. And I was waiting to get his first name, but he wouldn't tell me. And so I told my mom I needed that picture so I could understand or figure out what his first name was. But anyways,
so he
was the one that was there.
Yeah, he said, we are not here for him to help us. We are here to help him. And at that time, you appeared above them and they were lifting you up to show that they're supporting you, because they need your support as a guardian to help them in the areas that they're working. But they knew that it's been difficult for you to just get focused and get there. And so you have been praying and saying, Father, help me to get this going. And this was it. This was the answer. And they all came. And then what they said was, I know what it was. At that point, Tom Petty showed up to me and said, tell him what you do. Because as soon as Tom Petty or Freddie Mercury or any other musician that I've worked with shows up, all I have to do is pog them and pog where they're working. And then I pray to Father and say, help them with everything they need, whatever they need, give them the resources that they need. And that's all I do. And so what was nice is to be able to tell you that you don't have to think about, oh, I got a ground, I got to think about this, and what am I going to do here? Because that's what we do. We get in the way. And it was so nice that he just said, just tell them what you do. Because every time that happens, I said, and I just pog the individual and the group that they're working in or the area that they're working in. And I talk to Father and say, help them. That's it. And that's what they need from you.
And I can honestly tell you when you said that, it was like a huge relief for me, because I'm like, well, I can't help you because I'm not ready to help you. Like, I'm not grounded. I'm not in the center of my mind. You know what I mean? Like, that takes me, a couple minutes to sit down and take care of all this before I can even help you. And then when you said that, it was like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders, because it's like, Father can do all things. He's given me his power. I just need to use it. Don't hold back.
And it's that simple.
Don't limit yourself. Yeah. And so that was incredibly overwhelming to see all those people there. And I'm just like, I can't help you. Like, I'm in pain. I physically cannot help you right now. And then, to hear that was like, all you really have to do is just pog. And it's like, oh, okay. It can be that simple. That was tremendous help.
And then what was it like the rest of the day? What happened?
The rest of the day was amazingly peaceful. after that, you know, you had me do a lot of deep breathing, which obviously we're supposed to be doing anyways, right? But this was like, this was oxygenate the blood because my head was killing me. And that actually helped. And the kids and Danielle were off swimming at a friend's house. So I had some peace and quiet to kind of gather myself and bring myself back together. And I got to say thank you to my Canadian friends because we have those muscle relaxer things. And my shoulders were so tense that I was literally, I could feel my shoulders up. So I took one of those things and I went and laid down, and the peace that I felt was pretty substantial after all that took place. So I was able to get rid of the headache after about a couple of hours, and it lingered, but I felt much better. And I can tell you, I felt much more in tune to his need for his need from you. Like we're basically essentially his tools, correct? You know, and I guess I look at it like, what tool am I? My screwdriver, my hammer, like what do you need me to be? You know? And I think I felt a little bit more like, I understood a little bit more like how Jeremy and Atmos fit together and how simple and easy it can all be, and how I take something that's a fairly simple process and use it to overwhelm myself, or I should say Satan uses that process of meditating to allow that to become so overwhelming that it's just too much of a burden. I can't do it. When you're always kind of there, you know, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. And in fact, you know, if you think of it this way, you know how Trilin has told us that, you know, ground, get ready. When you give a healing, you know, just go. But you can't screw it up.
Right.
You know, because Father's right there. And we as humans think, okay, I need to be right on, and God, I've got to be this and that. No, all we have to do is do.
And I think the daily grind probably, you know, you go to work and things are difficult or whatever, and you're like, oh, I can't meditate, that's too hard. When it's not, it's so simple, it's so easy. I can't help right now. I'm not in the center of my mind. I'm not ground. You know, I'm not this. I'm not that. And it's just God's given us the power to do what we need to do, and it's His power. So, you know, I learned that day that I need to openly wield it because He is always there and it's always on.
And help is needed. And it's you said Father needs us. Well, He does. He chose us for this and chose every child of God for what we all have to do, because He's not doing it all. I mean, He could do it all, but that's not how the work is working. He's using us. And so when we look at it that way, He needs us. Nice. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Anyone have any comments concerning that, or questions maybe? Similar experiences.
Last month I had shared that I make hogging a country so difficult that my lead said, just do it. You spend too much time preparing. Just do it. So I'm obviously in a higher production mode this month. You know, instead of three countries, I'm doing 10 or 12, you know. Yeah, it's interesting. I still get in that old habit. I'm like, oh, I got to get a cup of coffee. I got to get the chair straight. I got to make sure that, and it's like, oh, shut up, you know, and what's funny is I lay in bed and now ground and get ready before I even get out of bed. I'm having trouble standing. I have to adapt. It's crazy what I got to do, but it's every day is now a challenge. And I thought, okay, well, I keep complaining, I don't have any energy and strength. Why don't I just do that in bed? And I, again, when I first was doing it, I was like, oh, I got to do this. I got to make sure my head's this way. And it's like, I keep hearing my lead, just do it. He didn't say stupid, obviously, but, you know. So yeah, we're being told, just we're making it so difficult for ourselves. Just be a good tool. And what's funny is I you said you don't know if you're the screwdriver or the hammer. I feel like that 10 millimeter socket that rolled under the tool chest. Sometimes
the one you need all
I'm very useful, but no one can ever find me.
That's amazing. Yeah. I see that all the countries have been covered. Fantastic. I went to look at the list because I didn't open the email. I thought, oh, I got to do that. And then the whole week got away from me. And I woke up very early Saturday morning. Yep. And I opened the email and everything's been taken care of. Fantastic. So nice.
So we're starting over with the whole list of countries. And here's another little tidbit about when I'm cleaning countries. I just listen. You know how like when you're preparing for a healing and like the Holy Spirit's like telling you things and just things are, you know, you're being prompted, you know, that possibly certain things will come out in the healing or whatnot, you know, you're given information. So lately I've just had just random, you know, random countries just popping in my head. And I don't know, like Uruguay has been like just all the time, just like all the time. So anyway, I've been doing extra things there, but they're, I opened up the email and I saw the list and I thought, oh, well, I'll just go with the ones that the countries that I'll just start off and go to the ones that, you know, were the oldest, you know, that were just like the beginning of last year, you know, the beginning of the new year, I guess. So I did that, but I found that when I was just sitting there, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do it. You know, so I'm grounded. I'm all of that stuff. But when I went to go to the countries, I couldn't see anything, which was kind of concerning. Mm-hmm. And in that one moment, I was like, well, I can't do it. I can't see anything. But then I thought, no, you can feel, you don't have to see, you can, you know, like you can just do it, like just go do it. So I did. Right. And I went to, it was like a lot of the islands again. And so when I was there, I was cleaning the countries and I knew exactly what, you know, like what my team was doing and all of that, but I couldn't see any of it until I was part of the way through the process of it. And actually Trilyn and I were just talking about it earlier today. Cause I was like, well, I thought it was kind of strange that I couldn't see. And then by the end, I could see everything. And he says, well, you couldn't see because it was so dark. There was so much evil. And that was what was covering everything up. And I just sat there in that moment. I'm like, well, it's a good thing I continued because had I just stopped, then it wouldn't have been mm-hmm. cleaned. So, okay. Yeah. So that was one of those things where I just sort of sat there inside myself, like, yeah, it doesn't have to be that difficult. You don't have to see, not everything has to be 100%. You know, I just felt with inside myself, like it just had to, I had to do it. Just go do it. So there's that.
That seems to be the message this year. Just do it.
Exactly. Well, the funny thing is that we were having a whole conversation a while earlier today about just doing things, just being active. And everybody's father has a certain expectation for us to all be active and doing something. But like my doing something is a little bit different than, you know, everybody else's, you know, everybody has their own way and is Father's tool in, you know, however he wants us to, but we just need to continue to do it and not just be idle, you know. And it's like you just have to take that first step and do something, whether it's praying or whatnot. And you know, I had an experience earlier in the week that Chief Apostle Strykhuizen, he popped back into myself for whatever, you know, whatever reason, but him and I had a longstanding relationship in eternity for a long time. And we were doing a lot of work together and I hadn't thought about him and I don't even know how long. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, I'm hearing myself and making myself be more aware, because if you're not present, then how can you help?
Right.
So I don't know, just my food for thought. And I think, Well, I think it's important that we're, that we all are active in some way, because what Father has us, you know, he picked us, handpicked us for a reason. And if we're not active, then what are we doing? Why are we, what are we doing? So I just think everybody needs to take a look and figure out, and it would be interesting maybe on the next call, or if we want to start an email, or I can, you know, put together an email, whatever, that, you know, think about, like, how are you active? You know, I know we've talked about it a little bit before, but I've been finding myself being active in different ways now than I was before, you know? So I don't know. Food for thought.
Very nice.
Okay.
Any other comments?
It's hot out. It's hot by you. It's hot north.
Well, right now it's actually raining. But you know, when you talk about just do something, we talk about the way, the things that we do as a guardian, but there are so many other things that we do. Just the conversation. And it's so nice that I really enjoy our congregation after the services, because everybody sticks around. And sometimes I get caught with just a couple of people, but they're the best conversations, because we talk about spiritual things. And, you know, it's kind of interesting as well that people don't talk to me about the weather in church, but they talk to other people about the weather at church, because, you know, we've it's like we're, if I hold the service, there are comments about things that came out in the service, and then we talk spiritually, but just things like that. And now there are a couple of people that I seek out, that seek me out, so that we can actually talk about it. And, you know, some of the people are just the most humble that you could imagine. And one was a deacon for a long time, but he's just soft-spoken and he's sweet as can be. And, you know, he cries every time he comes up for Holy Communion, and he apologizes for it. You know, are you kidding me? I said, you're the highlight of the congregation. It, you know, it just is his faith. Just, you can see it. And those who don't notice it, like you said, Starlight, we have to just be looking and be aware. But just those conversations with anybody, and it's beautiful.
What's also that I can't remember. I was going to say something else earlier, but I can't remember what it was now. Apparently not important. Or it might be valid at some other point in time. I was going to say, we just need to be doing something. Oh, I know what it was. It was about the countries, going back to the countries. So last year it took us a year to clean all the countries. This year it's taken us so far 6 months, but, I know that we'll clean the rest of them in another 6 months, you know, but if we are all just doing, it won't take very long, and it could be done every 3 to 4 months, you know, the whole thing. So that's where we're moving towards. So,
you know, when you say it that way, look how bad it is in the world right now.
Everywhere. Yes.
I mean, it's just, yes. And in the service today, I thought it was so nice because Scott held the service. I assisted, and it was about the body. You know, we are parts of the body, and Jesus is the head, and every part of the body is important for different things. And Scott started the service by saying, you know, this is something we've heard so many times. And he said that in my career, he said, well, I don't know if it was a career or whatever. And I kind of made a joke of it, because it's not a career to be a minister, but he said, I probably held 10 services throughout that time on just this. He said, so, you know, what can we expect new? And as he was serving, everything was new. And it was awesome. And then the thoughts that were coming to me were every person is unique and completely individual and completely different than everyone else. And so if we, and what we do as human beings is we hone in on the differences. You know, we sometimes we, you know, find out what each other are like, and you know, we look for the similarities. But in general, when we have a problem with someone, it's they're so different. Well, everyone in the world is different than everyone else. And so we have to just get away from that and realize that, yeah, so what? We are who we are. In that book, The Untethered, or Living Untethered, the second to last chapter stated, on a paraphrase, it might have been brought up last meeting, I'm not sure, but it says, we are souls who are placed on the most beautiful world that we can imagine in this whole entire universe that sustains life, and with the beautiful colors and sounds and nature and everything else. And we are taken care of, and then we leave. And if everything that we do is about this world, we leave with no benefit. If everything in this world, and it doesn't say this in the book, but this is what came to me in the service. If everything that we do is directed toward loving God above all and our neighbor as ourselves, love, love, everything is about love, and therefore we're not judging, then everything that we do is a blessing. I spoke with a member, Aunt Sandy, and she said that she had a surgery last week. She was in the hospital, and she shared a room in a hospital. You know, that's hardly ever heard of anymore. And she got along with this lady, 28 years old, Aunt Sandy's in her 70s, and they talked all evening until 11:30. And they finally said, you know what, we better get some sleep. And every single nurse, nurse's aide, and everybody else on the floor was absolutely amazed and came in and said, people who room together in this hospital never talk, and there are always issues. What we just witnessed has never, ever happened here. Everybody, the whole hospital is talking about it. And they talked about faith. They talked about, they were nice to each other. They talked about all these different things. That's all you have to do. All you have to do is be available and love and talk, listen.
Wow.
Any other thoughts? Anybody watch services from other places?
Yeah, I watched Brampton, Canada today. Is it Evangelist Barry? He brought an interesting point. He says, you ever been to those places where you stick your head through a big cardboard cutout and you have like the body of a gorilla or a dragon or whatever? And that's how he started the service. And he goes, I'll make my point, but we've all done that, right? And his point was, he went through the service and went through the word, and he goes, so I'll come back to that. Your head on a different body goes, can people look at us in our church and say, well, that's the church is Christ is the head, but whoa, what's going on with the body? Is that really, you know, like when people look at us as a member of the church, can they see Christ in us as part of the body? And it was a children's service. So he, you know, it was funny. He brought some things up about different parts, but that stuck with me. And I thought, wow, because we've always heard, can we represent Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit by people looking at us? And I think most of the time I do. I can, you know. But then there are times where you think to yourself, wow, that really wasn't cool. And even in that, I think maybe I try to, try to be more Christ-like in my reaction. Not that I throw a temper tantrum outside my room, but, you know, but it was interesting. And he brought up, he says, we have to make sure that that everything is in line. And again, he went further into the kids service part, but I thought it was very interesting. You know, can people look at the church and look at us and go, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's God's work there. And yeah, I mean, sometimes I think about what we've done and how our church has evolved and what we're doing. And you know, I cringe sometimes thinking about the past and all that. And, you know, I pray every day that Father can bring back the members that were lost and even our young people. You know, it's interesting. I just thought about everybody that was at my brother-in-law's house for Memorial Day and, you know, 50s and 60 year olds and one's getting to retire in a few years. And then I thought, wow, there are no young ministers in the church, at least in Florida. The deacons are all in their 70s. And there's one doorman, and he's in his 80s. So again, there's in Florida, there's no young people. When they changed the format of the young people group to where at 18, they all left. It's, yeah. You know, so I think about that, you know, in the body and the evangelist's point was, even as much as the eye wants to be the hand can't be the foot and everything. Where is our next generation? I pray for that. I keep thinking, well, maybe God's plan is going to end before we need those younger brothers. I don't know. But I really thought about that this morning. Wow, where is the next generation? How's our body, right? We have an active mind. Say it again.
It's interesting that you're talking about that. Evangelist Heidema brought out in service. He said, yeah, he read a quote that someone said, you know, it was the older generation who's saying, boy, what's going to happen to this country, this city, this whatever, the young people, look at the young people, look, how are they going to be able to do this? And he said that that was stated in 1780.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, you know, when I said that, when he said that the first time, it's like you're thinking of, oh, yeah, look at the generation, because and everybody does. But it has nothing to do with that. And Father's got a plan. Who knows what it is? I retire in less than 2 years now. And there aren't a whole lot of
you didn't get the letter? You didn't get that letter? Yeah, they got to raise the age of 70.
Did they really? No, are you just kidding me?
No, I'm teasing.
Yeah, exactly. Because
I'm pulling your leg.
No. I would do it if I could, but anyway. But you look at that, and Father's got it. Whatever the plan is,
there. We ended up watching that service, but we started watching South Africa, and it was the chief apostle service there, but the internet was cutting in and out on their end, so we decided we were going to try to watch it at a different time when we could have the patience to, you know, we wanted to like, yeah, because they were not only it was. He was speaking, then the internet was having problems, but then they were also translating it. So there was a lot going on. So I was just like, okay, we gotta stop this for a second. So we're going to watch it at a different time later this week, but yeah.
I'll tell you something interesting. So we had our confirmation service today and it was it's now called Margaret Ave, but you don't know it as Kitchener Central. And we had our first sister that was ordained as a deacon served behind the altar this morning.
Woo-hoo. Nice.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. It was nice.
Did she wear black and white?
Yes. Well, she was singing in the choir anyway, okay. So she did have black and white on.
Right. They still wear black and white. We don't wear black and white anymore in the choir.
Well, it was a special service, so we wear it if there's an apostle service or if it's like a church celebration or this being confirmation. That's why they wear black and white. Otherwise, we don't wear black and white either. But it was, I said to Tom, I'm glad that I am my age, because so many times I used to say, oh, we wish that we could ordain her. But I thought, oh, thank heavens. I mean, my hat went off to her. It was Kitchener Central. You know, that's a big church. And there were a lot of members there today. So, yeah, it was nice to see. It was very nice to see.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
He just realized that his battery's about to die. I was like, now I can only see Lauren.
No, it's there. It's there.
There was a young people service that the district apostle called service members up to the altar years ago. Like,
oh yeah, I remember that.
Like, do you remember that? And he called up a female service member, and the comments afterwards was like, "How could he do that? She was a woman." It was like, yeah, the church didn't fall down and the altar didn't burst into flames. That's weird.
Was that, you know, Chief Apostle Labor?
There's like, I don't.
It was a youth service.
It was a youth service.
It was Canada or United States.
It was a youth service. It was Canada.
And it was Canada. But yeah, it was just so funny. And there were some other, we were young being idiots. I mean, we made quite a few comments that we thought it was great. We didn't care. I mean, you know, but again, how conservative the church was as far as the role of women, what their spot is in the church, you know, and I think, wow.
Not just our church. Wow.
Well, right. The world, right. I think now, and I mentioned to one of my friends here that our church is going to start ordaining female.
Okay, so Tryland said what? There was three service members. And the district apostle turned and said, "Would anybody like to serve?" And only the girl did. And that was it.
Kitchener Central.
Oh.
Day of the Youth.
Ah, okay. Oh. Okay.
What year was
that?
That's
how it went. That was.
We were youth leaders.
He said it was in the 90s.
Yeah, I was already out. But yeah, I told her about the females in our church, that the roles that they lead, and they've had always been a support role. And I said, now they're gonna be ministers. And she looked, I'm like, oh, don't tell me you're one of those. And she's like, no, it's great. And I went, okay, because you kind of looked at me like, what?
Well, it's very common in other faiths. You know, it's very common. There's a lot of ministers in other faiths that are female.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So again, we talk about what God's plan is, and my comment was more not just what the next generation was to be, is where are they? And in Florida, other than the rector's two children and some, we have like 30 Sunday school kids, but there's like a 40-year gap between the ministers and the Sunday school kids. There's literally no bodies. And from my sister says, that's the way Florida is. Like even Miami, remember how big Miami's district used to be, the youth? Nothing. They're gone. You know, so it's interesting. I'm hoping the rest of the country isn't like that. But with the deficit we have, we're going to need the ladies in our church to step up, because, you know, again, not that I worry about it, but it's a concern. You know, and I think about the next generation of guardians, who's going to be, because we're chief guardians, right? So that means there's going to be other types of guardians, you know. So if we step up and keep doing it, Father's going to have no choice but to bring others in, because the work's going to grow and we're going to need more workers, right?
Our church here locally, Compassion is what it's called today, and the pastor there was along a similar vein. He was talking about how, you know, the age difference between the difference in age between, you know, the high end and the low end. And he kind of drew the comparison that, you know, scholars have gone back and looked through, and what they can think is that the youngest disciple that Jesus called was about 13 years old, and the oldest was about 18 to 23 years old. Which would have been Mark, I believe, because he was married at the time when Jesus called him. So
he said it's that 18 to 29, you know, 15 to 29 year old that Jesus worked with. But you think about how long people lived back then. I think if you lived to be 30, 40 years old back then, that was probably pretty old. Don't know that for sure, but that was what I was thinking when he was going along there. And then he said, you know, the age difference in the church in general in the U.S. is, I think there's only 10% of the congregations or 12% of the congregations are ages, you know, 29 and below. The rest of the population of the church is 30 or above. I was like, that's a pretty substantial number. You know, and he even had everybody, he said, hey, everybody that's 29 years and younger, raise your hand. You know, and of course, one of the senior ladies that's a real smart butt, she raised her hand. Everybody got a kick out of that, you know. But there was literally, I think there was probably 40 or 50 people in there. And there was only 4 or 5 people that raised their hands. And 2 of them are leaving for Colorado. They're starting a new church in Colorado. So, you know, it's definitely a thing, no matter if it's a new apostolic church. I think it's the Christian faith in general is experiencing that. And I don't know if it's an ebb and flow or what it is, but I guess we'll find out sooner or later.
Well, I know the district apostle was telling us in Cambridge not too long ago that the membership has really declined after COVID. Most people find it so comfortable to have e-church from the comfort of their home, not understanding the importance of Holy Communion, but he was saying that the attendance really dropped quite drastically.
Well, even on the e-church, there's only 30. I mean, when I'm watching it live, there's 30, 34.
Yeah, but I was saying to Tom that it could be a family, right? Just because it's 30, it would only have one person.
I get what you're saying. I forgot. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so there could be 160, 170 watching. And then there's the ones that watch it later when it's more convenient. You don't want to get up at 10:30 to watch church.
Exactly.
It's a Sunday. Yeah. No, I'm laughing because I couldn't get out of bed today. So I was watching church from bed at 10:30. All right. I'm laughing at myself as I'm saying those words. I was like, that was you. And then I had coffee. Yeah.
Good.
You know, a thought comes, you look at the time we're living in, and it's unique, and it's a lot of times, depending on what you're looking at, it's bleak. In eternity, the work is growing, obviously. And every single divine service, every place the altar of grace is, every soul from eternity who can shows up.
Yeah.
And the Lord only knows, you know, if we are truly in the end time. I'm not, you know, making any prophecies or forecasts. We really don't know, but it sure seems like that. And, you know, all the work continues and you just need to keep doing what we're doing and more and listen to the urgings, the promptings and be available.
I'm wondering if things are going to be coming, are going to get more crazier, shall we say, in the realms. Like people are going to be more hustle and bustle, and the activity is just going to be on the rise the closer we get to that time. You know, it seems like that's the way it's getting here in this realm, anyways. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more excitement. And, you know, when it seems like you get promptings from, you know, those who we work with there. I know it sounds weird every time I say it like that, but, you know, it's us. So.
Oh, we know what you mean.
Yeah, I know you do. But it's still, you know, I think about it every once in a while. I listen to what we say and I think, wow, if anybody else, you know what I mean? But when we get the prompting.
Being a padded cell.
You're right. Exactly. But, you know, every time it's like again and again and again. And so we know that the activity there is just going because we're in the world and, you know, our week goes by and we go, oh, I forgot to do this because all that minutia and worldly things takes up all of our time, but they are only working on the soul, the spiritual stuff, and they're not bogged down by all of this. Now, granted, the ones they're working with are bogged down with their feelings and difficulties that they had, the things that they had to overcome, and they still haven't, but it's still, we're getting there. I don't think I made any sense right there.
You made sense. What I was going to bring up is that after service, I was feeling sad, very sad. I couldn't figure out why. And Father said to come see him. And I was trying to get ready, and I couldn't, I couldn't get to the center of my mind. I'd already been there a couple times. And finally I said, Father, what is going on? And he said, the souls are around you. I said, oh, okay, why? Because they see your light. They're attracted to you. They're attracted to the guardians. They're attracted to you. That's why you can't see anything. And to your point, Lauren, there was evil. I was so surrounded, I couldn't see anything because of the souls. I said, oh, that's weird. He goes, they don't see you. They see your light. I'm like, oh, you know, hi, everybody. Put a shirt on or something, you know. But he said that he says the work is growing, and it's interesting, and I just remembered it right now, is that I just basically reiterating, the work is growing. There is more activity because, or maybe I'm becoming more sensitive to it, but the prompting and everything we've talked about, it seems like it's more and more and more. I'm exhausted this week. I write a little calendar down of what I did and where I visited, and I was in a couple of realms, and Father said, you were busy this week. You were very busy this week. Nice. So maybe look at what you did. Look at your calendar, and that will explain why you're so exhausted. You know, it's not just your physical body, but the souls want to come by. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. They just want to be around to see what was that like? What is going on? And then the work, then that's the testimony, and then the work will continue. Then they can be talked to, like, you want to know what that was? You know. And I thought, wow, okay, thank you, Father. But yeah, I don't know.
That's nice. Well, if we don't have any other comments, I want to make sure I cover the birthdays. I didn't do that last time. Ryland sent out
I forgot last month too.
So, June birthdays, Tranquility, 27th. And you're going to be 39 years old. Oops, I'm sorry.
I thought you meant she's going to be 20.
And change. It's 39 plus change.
And then July 1st is Blazar. And he's still a young pup, too. Jarius is the 2nd. And, of course, Jesus, born on the 17th of July. Nobody else knows that.
So let's start an argument at some point. I can't wait to bring that up during some discussion with some scholars. Well, yeah.
Yeah. It's not even worth it.
He told my brother.
So I want to share
that he's 2023 years old.
Right. Yeah. So I shared this with, I think, Eric and Lauren. In that book, Lauren, if you've gotten to this part before, it states that if we, our opinions and our preferences are based on our experiences, and our experiences equal 0.00001 compared to all of the experiences available, right? Now available or front, you know, and so, but we base our preferences, our opinions, and our beliefs so strongly, and that still equals 0% because there are 4 zeros. And that's how we are as humans, that we stick by our guns, and the only thing that we truly can stand behind is truth. And it's God's truth. Everything else, all of our other experiences, yeah, we can help people in that. But after I read that, I thought to myself, yet people argue their point so strongly all the time. That helped me to realize that it's not worth arguing at all with anyone, but just being open and available and listen and discuss, but don't argue. Because I don't have enough information to tell them they're right or wrong on that thing. But it was an interesting point. What are your thoughts about that?
I got to read the book. I keep forgetting to read it. It's sitting in my e-reader or whatever, Kindle. I'm going to set a reminder right now.
It's worth
it. I remember reading that part now that you brought it up, and it was interesting because I thought to myself, you know, we, like you said, we think we're right with our thinking because we're grabbing a hold of the experiences that we know, but we're just like a small little blip of everything. So really does, like, what we're thinking or what we're feeling or whatever, I'm going to say, does it matter? But does it matter? Because, I mean, my truth is different than everybody else's. And does it, I mean, I don't know, does it matter to art? Not really to argue, but everybody can have their own opinions and their own feelings and their own thoughts on whatever they want. And that's okay. That's okay. But you can always go back to the truth. And, you know, and I think about a lot of times with, sometimes like early on being on the team, like you start questioning and thinking and, you know, like overthinking things and is this real or isn't it? And finally, like, I think when we were talking in the last meeting, I don't know if I had said it appropriately or not, but it was like, I finally came to the conclusion, like even with myself and my own thoughts, who cares? It doesn't matter. I know what the truth is. Like, I know who Father is. I know, you know, and what other people's thoughts are, or even my own thoughts or Satan putting thoughts in my head or whatever. It doesn't matter because there is an ultimate truth. And when you keep on, like, you just go back to that, then that's it, done.
Yeah. Nice. So, and you know, as you were talking, I also thought of this. The teachers that we love the most are the ones who care. Mm-hmm. They weren't the ones who lectured and they were just there, available. They listened. And so when we think about, we think, okay, what matters? Well, what matters is how we interact with people, and that every single time we love, we listen, and we're helpful. And, mm-hmm. and that's it. Those are the things that matter. I mean, positively, because if we hurt someone, that matters too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The goal of this month, hurt as many people as you can. So you can get forgiven for it.
That's what we learned.
Create catastrophes so we can fix them.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anything before we close? In fact, Starlet, you talked about maybe doing an email thing just to what do you think?
I'm like we could email or just talk about it, put a pin in it and talk about it on the next call. I would just be curious just to know, like, what is everybody doing? Mm-hmm. You know, our experiences and things, because I mean, maybe you're doing something that I've never thought of, and I could do that, you know. And I mean, it's, you know, going into it, like, there's so many things that we can be doing to be active that I don't even, you know, I was like going through my head today and I'm thinking, like, well, how am I active? You know, and I realized that I'm active. Like, I do a lot of things, but it's second nature now that it's just like, yeah, I am active, but I am doing these things, or I'm prompted, or I all of a sudden just start, like, even simple as like praying for somebody or something, or think, you know, about or a realm in eternity, or, you know, but it's things pop in my head. It's second nature. I do it, you know, and I don't even realize that I'm being that active when I really am. So I would just be curious to know, like, what is everybody doing? Because maybe there's something new that I could be doing. Jot down a note or something?
Yeah. So think of it this way. Don't write
a paragraph. Jot down a note or?
Don't write a paragraph. Just a note. I just remember so-and-so who passed away. You know what I'm saying? So just we make it simple so that it doesn't become a burden for us to even think about doing.
I would just be curious, you know, and we can talk about it the next meeting, or, you know, we can, somebody could start an email or I could start an email. I don't want it to be burdensome. Like you said, I just, I would just be curious. Maybe that's a good topic to have for the next meeting, you know, just
next meeting. Let's do that as a start, you know, maybe instead of an email to look me. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of time. None of you have a lot of time. So maybe the next month's session can be our points of topic. Maybe.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this instead? Everybody keep a notepad. I mean, just write down the things you do so that we're not then burdening and kind of mixing everything up with an email and that we have to keep going back to that. Why don't we just keep notes? Not of long.
Filled one demon today.
Well, I mean, just because I don't think people realize, well, one, it could be an eye opener of how inactive, you know, active or inactive you are of what you need to do. Or is there certain days that you're more active, or is there certain time? Like, I don't know, doesn't have to be that detailed, but it's just more, I think of more of a, like a self-reflection, but also being able to share with people, you know, all of us on the team of like, what are we actually all doing? Because we're all in, you know, all different places and, you know, doing all different things all the time. And some of us are working, some of us aren't. Some, you know, like there's so many things that I would just be curious, like, what are we all actually doing?
Yeah. And it's not a book report.
No, not at all. Just a conversation. You know, a conversation.
Exactly. Just keep notes of things. And I think it's a great idea. It's going to help me.
Nice. Yeah, don't put pressure. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. Just have some ideas in your head or jot it down if you can't remember. And
nice. All right. Well, thank you. Let's close.
Okay.
I'll be with you. Loving Father, we come to you again and so happy and thankful. And even dear Father, it seems strange to us that we talk so openly about talking with you and being with you, but you have pulled us to you and we know the reality of it. And we're so thankful. Continue to be with us, help us, lead us and guide us, be with us throughout this coming week. And dear Father, help us that we truly focus more on the spiritual. And we know that we can't put a percentage to it because there are so many things that we have to do in life, but help us to be able to get all of those things done and be productive. Yet, dear Father, that we remain in the center of our mind and that we remain focused and present with you. And you, when you prompt us, then we can work. We love you, Father. We thank you. Lead us and guide us. Help us as a guardian team and our families to be healthy and strong, mentally, physically, and spiritually, and spiritually above all. And help us, dear Father, to see, know, and understand what we can do, what we should do, and how we should do those things, and that we can be able to make our way in this life and have what we need. Father, we know that you bless us. Help us that we do our part, that this work can come to its completion. We love you, Father. We send the Lord Jesus. We look so forward to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.